Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. This is a show where we talk about Black people, places, and events. It is not exclusively for Black people, because there are many things that we need to understand if we're to make progress in this country. Part of that information includes the fact that many people, both Black, white, every other racial, ethnic, and gender classification, are not aware of, because they have not been covered in our prevailing history books. Does not mean that they did not happen. It just means that they have been excluded. Many historians write, and write with the possibility that their book can be used in school systems. In order to do so, they must appeal to associations that represent parents, teachers, and others. When we come to history, many of our teachers of history are not aware because they haven't done independent research. This is not a reflection on them, their abilities, or what they teach, because they are teaching what they have been taught. And that's good. We find, particularly with people of color, that we have essentially been excluded from all of history. But we have made significant contributions, and it's about time that we understand who we are, what we have done, and what we're capable of doing. We have been a part of the fabric of this country since before this country was a country. Every person here did not come from a slave. Many of us did, however. And while many of us are ashamed, and I must admit that I was in this category myself, of being ashamed of having been a slave, there are many, many contributions, many things that we have done in all of our history that have just gone unrecognized. When we do this, we sometimes come to a false conclusion that we have not done anything. And this is particularly true of those people that have been fed a diet that includes stereotypical images of us, basically without formal education. And I want to make a point here. There is a difference between education and intelligence. There is a difference between education and intelligence. For much of that time, there have been laws on the book that prevented teaching a Black person to read or write, whether they be slave or free. Now, why would that take place? Because it was advantageous to the slave owners to make it appear as if they were being benevolent. Yes, they were being benevolent, but to their pocketbook, not to the people that were enslaved. We see depictions in the movies and everywhere else that basically says, when asked, do you have a good master? Yeah, I got a good master. Okay, how do you know this? And why is that being pushed on us? Because if word gets out that you were critical of your master, you were subject to being beaten. There were even laws on the book that covered accidental killing. If you were correcting a slave and that slave died during the correction. Now, why would we even talk about that? Because there was cruelty. There was brutality taking place. And we don't want to expose that. We don't want to expose the truth. We talk about history and learning from history. But you cannot learn from history unless it is accurate, unless we bring forth those things that have taken place. And I continue to be surprised every day with discoveries that are being made, discoveries that are being mentioned that I sometimes see as superficial. Sometimes someone will mention something in a conversation, on TV, in the media about something, and I'll dig deeper into it and find out that there is indeed a story there, a story that reveals a lot about what has taken place. During the month of March, Women's History Month, I post daily, and I post about a woman that we should all know. This is the second year that we have done this. We're on the 19th day of the second year. Yes, you can go back and look at what we did last year. And there were 31 amazing women that we talked about. If you go to the site amazingblackhistory.com, there is a link that takes you to 31 black women that we should all know. And this year, on today, the post was on Callie House, C-A-L-L-I-E, House, H-O-U-S-E. While there is a summary about Callie House, I try to dig deeper in that because I don't want you to just skim the surface, because many times we have a desire to know more about a particular subject, and we can't do that if we don't know where to start. Understanding that, because for so many years, I had absolutely zero interest in history, because as I looked through the average history book that I've had, it was like an anchor, because most of those books average 888 pages. They're big, heavy, thick books, big. And I looked through them. And what am I looking for? I didn't know what I was looking for in the beginning. What I was looking for was things that interested me. And things that interested me were things that were relevant to me. When I open that big, heavy book, and all I see are primarily white men, it was nothing that jumped out and grabbed my interest. Nothing. You know, I see people from days of yesteryear wearing clothes that look funny. And nobody that looked like me that grabbed my interest. And so I did not see the significance of much of history until I became aware of the fact that, yes, indeed, we are involved, and to a much greater extent than what we have been told. Let us take a look at Callie House, for example. And again, we spell her name, and the reason that I'm spelling this is not because I don't think that you can understand me. I want to be clear that we are talking about something that you can do additional research on. I never had a desire to dig any deeper than the absolute least amount that I could get by in history. And what it amounted to in most cases was a remembrance of dates and places. Dates and places. Events. But I could not see the relevance to me. And that's very important. When we look at our children, we are putting them in school to learn. And oftentimes we want them to conform to our way of teaching rather than conforming to the way in which they learn. Do you understand the significance of what I'm saying? Many times we go around and we think that our kids aren't paying attention. They aren't paying attention to what is being taught to them. They come home, they listen to a song. Sometimes it's a song that we find objectionable, particularly to a kid of that age. And they can repeat the words verbatim. They understand what's being said around them. And we don't use that tool, that powerful tool, to teach. reach them, to reach them. And so what we're doing is we're giving them something that they don't understand. And we have to break it down. We have to break it down to a point where they can understand it. And we often can't do that because we don't understand it either. I never took an interest in history until decades of my life had passed. I had a degree in chemistry, and I'm thinking that I have received an education, that I understand, that I know what's going on. Yes, I took history in high school. I took history in college, but I did not find those things that were significant that drew me in to want to know more. I understood and I enjoyed natural sciences, and they behaved according to a particular pattern. I was not in a position where I understood many of the behavioral patterns that we were faced with. When someone didn't act the way that I did, they were, quote, crazy. Something. It was not a matter of my understanding at that time. We sometimes grow. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to understand that we have, and we will. We look at our Bible, for example. And most every house has a Bible or the equivalent of that, because everybody is not Christian. We developed this nation with an ability to have the religion or lack of religion that we saw fit. Just today, I see a commercial come on advertising for atheists and agnostics. And this is America. Everybody is not of that being. But when we look at our guiding principles that we believe and hold so dear, we see oftentimes that so-and-so begot so-and-so. And it's important. Because when we look at that, we can say, that's where I came from. That's where I get my strength. This is where my knowledge comes from. And when we talk about the difference between intellect and education is that formal schooling that we have gone to, that schooling that tells us that I now have a BA or BS or whatever degree behind my name. And we've developed this because it shows that we have gone and completed a regimen of study that brings us, in a formal sense, to that level. But there is nothing that says that you are exceeding anybody else, because knowledge comes in many, many forms. Sometimes we learn it by reading. Sometimes we learn it by studying, and studying does not, I think that it includes reading of some form or another. And we sometimes neglect our children because we don't give them reading materials that are of interest to them. Again, we're overlooking the people that need the information, people that are willing to soak it up. They can soak it up, but it must be about something that interests them at that particular age. And as we become older, we find that that's where our interest lay. So let's talk about Callie House. Callie House saw a person in her neighborhood selling pamphlets about reparations. Now, understand, slaves have been in this country for many, many years. There is a popular book out now called The 1619 Project, and it looks at what is taking place. A recent revelation came about when Henry Louis Gates, on his program, Finding Your Roots, was tracing back the ancestry of Angela Davis. Angela Davis, many of us recall, was an activist. I say activist because we have to look at the language that is often used in discussing what we have done. the language says that blacks were militants, whites were activists, doing the same thing. We code our language sometimes to the point where we need to understand that there are very subjective meanings that come along with certain points of view that are being expressed. Yes. And so Angela Davis was even charged because she supported the Black Panthers and programs, and the Black Panthers were not a terrorist group. They did go around with guns, but they also fed many hungry children for breakfast and other times of the day. They had a good message, but they were looked at as terrorist organizations. California has some tough gun laws, and that came about because black people had these guns. Well, let's go back and look at Cali House. This gentleman was going around the neighborhood and selling pamphlets about how black people should seek reparations. Sounds like a good idea. He was making money. He was white. Cali said, why can't we do this? We, black people, why can't we do this? And so she dug down. She found what needed to be done. And this is a very important point that I want you to take with you. When we are ready to do something, if we are not prepared, if we go into it with a belief that we can do it, the information will oftentimes come to us. We have to dig. There are humps that we have to get over. But this obstacle proved not to be as big as many people would suspect, because Cali House was able to put together, and when I say Cali House, people acting with her and with her direction were able to accomplish this. She had an organization that ran into the hundreds of thousands of people. And oftentimes when you become successful, you find objects and objections put in your way. The federal government was one of those, because understanding the size and depth of this organization, they put a barrier on her even being able to use the mail to send out material, to advertise through the mails. They prevented her from getting dues to the organization. They put a stranglehold on this woman. And yet and still, she persisted. But this was a remarkable thing that happened. And we have to understand that there have been other people that have led movements. Cali House is just one of those. When you have the backing of a good idea and you're willing to put forth that idea, amazing things can take place. So we had a woman who did not have a bunch of degrees behind her name, but she led a significant movement to the point that the government had to intercede. Had to. I'm not sure that legally they were on solid footing in what they had done to her, because you have to understand that in so many ways we are stymied, and we go back and look at education. They don't have laws on the books that you can't teach a dog anything, and that's because a dog can't do that. But we have to put laws on the books to prevent the competition that comes when we have black people that are educated, can communicate ideas. Now, in many cases, whites did not understand or know what was happening. In some cases, they did. And that was a bad thing, because there were laws that said when you went to church, you had to take a gun with you. Why? Because they understood that many of the enslaved people knew that when people were unarmed and away from the plantation, that was a great time for an uprising. And people were scared. They always wanted to seem as if it's a benevolent thing. Now, go to AmazingBlackHistory.com. Look at the 31 amazing women. Day 19 is Callie House. I want you to be aware of that, CalLieHouse, in case you want to do your own research. But I have put there for you videos. I have put there books and other things to enhance your ability to understand the story of Callie House. Another person I want to call attention to, and I personally admire this person a lot, because we develop most of our skills by being able to listen and by being able to see, read, do independent research, whatever we may have. But imagine 0.2% of people born around the world are deaf and blind. And Callie House was one of those people who was both legally deaf and legally blind. And yes, I have videos on AmazingBlackHistory.com that tell you about Haben Girma. Her parents were from Ethiopia and Eritrea. And with that, they had moved to this country to find a better life, just as people from other countries have. Now, during our history, we find that we have treated immigrants in many unsavory ways. And we've done this, which is not a good thing, but it's happened. But the most persistent of those, what happens to blacks? Because we see it happening every day. Now, what did this young, deaf, blind girl do? She was an excellent student. She graduated high school, she graduated college, and she graduated from one of the Ivy League law schools. Many people with every sense that they have are unable to do this, but she did it. And she worked on behalf of people with disabilities. Now, let me spell the name for you in case you want to do your own research or start with that I have given you. Haben, H-A-B-E-N, Girma, G-I-R-M-A, is this amazing woman. Now, she was motivated in some cases because she went to, I believe it was Portland State or one of the Oregon schools, and then went on to, I believe it was Harvard Law School, and graduated there. She graduated with honors. And this is a difficult thing to do. But she noticed when she went to the cafeteria, for example, and sometimes we are guided to do things by small inconveniences. She couldn't see. She couldn't read the menu on what they had. They had several lines there for meals. And when she found out that she had missed chocolate cake, she was a bit upset. She said, we need to make this information available to those that are disabled. After all, we have an Americans with Disability Law. And people blew her away, blew the ideas aside. It wasn't important. But she fought and continues to fight on behalf of those people. Now, when you look at the videos where she is actually speaking, she is deaf. But we sometimes think that if you're deaf, you can't talk. She can talk, but she has a very difficult time hearing. And her voice is very high because she has limited hearing in the upper ranges. And in order to hear what she is saying, she has developed a very high-pitched voice, very understandable, very clear, and we understand, and that should prompt us to be able to excel at what we do. many of the stories that we talk about are just that. They are inspirational stories, and they are not inspirational on a single color, a single gender, a single anything, because when we see people, we learn from them. One of the reasons that I even got into this situation is I wanted to motivate people, because as I began to get out of my shell from that of a chemist, and I chose chemistry because I did not want to be in front of audiences. I did not want to speak to people. I could do what needed to be done in almost cave-like environment. In fact, the building that I worked in was over 1,000 feet long. And when I went into that building, there were no windows in the building that I was working in, none. And so I was happy as I could be until I began to discover that people were the key to the progress that we were making in all fields. People are the key. You are the people that I'm speaking to. You are the ones that need to understand that everything is possible if we only believe in ourselves, believe that we can do things. Right now, in my home, there are flat screen TVs. And you say, big deal, everybody's got a flat screen TV. But when I was a kid, the TV that we had was big, it was heavy. It took time to warm up because it was full of tubes. You could come by a half hour later, and the thing would still be warm because of the energy it took to run it. And it was in black and white. And when people were talking about the ability to hang a TV on a wall, people thought they were absolutely crazy, bug nuts crazy. And that is not what we have seen. When we look at people, my grandson had an accident, broke his back, and he is a paraplegic. He cannot use his legs the way most people do. And he uses a wheelchair. But he just got back from the opposite coast because he went there to speak and motivate people. I look at him and I am in awe with what he has been able to do because he believes that he can do it. And because he believes, I believe. And you can be an inspiration to so many people by just living your life to its fullest. Yeah, we can complain. And I sometimes complain and don't have near as much going as he does. But it motivates me. It keeps me going. We've looked at Cali House. We've looked at Harbin Gurman. And all of these are on Amazing Black History. There's over 300 posts and counting because we're on day 19 of this 31-day series. There is a link to last year's 31 days. Now, during February, Black History Month, this is the third year that we have done this daily posting where we have looked back on many events. And yes, there are links that take you back to them. We try to provide you information that will inform you, inspire you, motivate you, and bring out the best that you have. So let me make sure that I did not overskip somebody here. I think I did. Bell Hooks. I didn't see it because I'm trying to look back at the list. I do a list that shows you all of the 31 days. When you look at Amazing Black History, you're probably on the homepage, but over, depending upon the browser that you have, there is a link that says to 31 Amazing Women. If not, there is a search bar. Put in 2023, and it will bring up links to those important sites. But Bell Hooks was a writer, philosopher, what have you, you'll find a great deal of information about bell hooks. And she has written some great, great information, not necessarily of historical, but more of a, on a personal level. She's written many books. There are two posts to her on AmazingBlackHistory.com, but if you go to the first, there is a link to the second. We try to do this. Sometimes we have not. Sometimes we go back and make these distinctions. But bell hooks is another person you need to take up. She talked about femininity. She's a very literate person, and I think that you'll find yourself entertained. Now, there is also a link that takes us to the program. Well, it doesn't actually take us here, but it tells you how you can access this particular program. We come on every week at 4 p.m. Eastern, which is 1 p.m. Pacific, and whatever that may translate out into your part of the world. This broadcast is heard around the world. You can call in, and to those of you that are listening on your device, even a smartphone, where you are connected through the internet, I don't see you on my dashboard. The only time I see you is when you call in, and there is a number there that you can call in. And I'll give you that number several times during the show. And that is, I don't want this to be completely a program without giving you the opportunity to ask questions, to make comments, to make suggestions on what we can do, because this is a program geared to just that. Oftentimes, we don't have information because we don't ask it. We're sometimes afraid to raise our hand and ask questions. I did this through school. I went through and didn't ask questions that I wanted to know the answer to. And I also shortcutted myself because I didn't do the research. Now I have developed that, let me know what's going on. And once I find out, I want to know more. And what I've done is I want to share that information with you because I think it makes a better world when we understand that everybody is playing a part. Let me try to move on a little bit faster on what we're talking about. And I come to a lady that played a vital part in civil rights. Her name is basically unknown, but she was in Columbia, South Carolina. Her name is Sarah Mae Fleming, SarahMae Fleming. And what did she do? She was kicked off of a city bus a year before Rosa Parks was. Rosa Parks was not the first person kicked off of a bus. We have, I just drew a blank, Claudette Colvin, a 16-year-old who was kicked off of a bus a year before Rosa Parks was. They did not take that case because, as in so many cases that we see, people make the victim the subject of what's there. She ended up pregnant. But guess what? It was last year, 2022, at the age of 83 years old, she was finally taken off of probation. Do you understand that she is no longer a juvenile delinquent at the age of 83 because the state imposed on her probation for life? She's rolling up in her wheelchair to see her probation officer. And what was her crime? She failed to get up off of a bus and give her seat. The law said that you could not sit next to a white person. That meant on the same row. So four people may have to get up to give a seat to a young white male, anybody, all four of them, because they couldn't even be on the same row. They had to stand up, and there may be empty seats in the front of the bus. But Sarah Mae Fleming was assaulted by the driver. because she wanted to get off at the closest door, which was the front door. He wanted to go out the back door. He assaulted her, sent her to the hospital. And that case was carried in South Carolina. In fact, when Rosa Parks won her case, they basically implemented the decision from Sarah Mae Fleming in South Carolina. We don't realize this. We had a person by the name of Elizabeth Jennings thrown off of a streetcar in New York City in 1850s because she and her lady friend were on the way, and I don't mean that in any kind of sexual way. She and another person were in their Sunday finery going to church because she played the piano in that church and physically thrown off the bus. Now, Jennings was the daughter of a prominent person in New York that developed dry cleaning. And we use dry cleaning today, developed in 1850 by a black man. The lawyer that they had was Chester A. Arthur. And that name may be familiar with you, to you, because he became a president of the United States of America. Segregation of races is long, long standing. You know, we sometimes don't consider, and I think we did Harriet Tubman last year, but Harriet Tubman led over 750 enslaved people to freedom in South Carolina. We don't often hear that story. We hear of her coming back and leading people across the border to Mexico. But we don't talk about what is sometimes realistic. Mexico never believed in slavery. There were people in the South that escaped to Mexico. We had all black towns in Mexico. We've had all black towns in America. But for some reason, the law always worked to their disadvantage, coming up with creative law enforcement ways of keeping them from prospering. But we have always had prosperous people. Another one that I'm going to talk about is the Edmund sisters. And it hasn't been that long that there is a statue of them that was unveiled, and I believe it was Alexandria, Virginia. Alexandria, Virginia. And these ladies worked on behalf of that. They tried to escape. They were in a ship. The ship was stranded because there was a particularly violent storm, I believe, in the Chesapeake Bay area where they were trying to escape. The people that escaped were marched through town. And when I say marched through town, they were treated to the most vile, disgusting language that you've ever heard. When we look at integration, when we talk about Ruby Bridges, for example, the six-year-old who went to a school in New Orleans, and basically the white parents almost closed that school. Ruby Bridges had to be escorted to school by four federal agents. Four adult men took her to school every day. But what they found is that there were one person would show up every day with a small coffin with a black doll in it saying, "You're going to die." They were threatening to poison her. The federal agents would not let her eat any food prepared at the school for fear that she would be poisoned. There were others that stood around and called her the most vile thing possible. And one day, as she's going to school, her teacher, the only teacher that would teach her, had previously taught in Boston, was in New Orleans, and had her as the only student, because that's the only student that would be in that class. And she looked out the window and saw her lips moving, and she was just beside herself with fear that something was about to happen. What did she find out? Ruby Bridges every day before she marched through this line of hateful parents, prayed for them every day on her way into school. She also prayed for them as they escorted her away. So we had some people who based their life was around making sure that this black girl did not get an education. And when we look at it, it's more than that. She and that teacher have done discussions. They moved around the country. They have done talks together. But here is a six-year-old girl praying for her tormentors. These are stories that we get out of the Bible, because most of us don't have that belief, that faith. What I did not realize is, because history hides so much from us, there were three other girls who went to a different school, and I will be doing posts about them in the future. I didn't realize it, because history does not allow us to understand that. I never heard word one about this until this year, and we're in 2023. This happened in the 50s, 1950s. It's almost 100 years. And I'm just now knowing about it. And so many of our stories are the same way. So we talk about the Edmund sisters, and they were sold down south, and they were being sold on what we would call today sex trafficking. There were two of them. Unfortunately, one of them passed. But their contributions, people bought their freedom, and they were able to survive, but they became lifelong advocates for freedom. Read about the Edmund sisters and the statue that has been unveiled in Alexandria, Virginia. We have always had Confederate statues among us, and what that represents, and we'll just make the plain truth available. These were people of a different country. And yes, I said a different country, because they had a president, they had a vice president, they had a constitution, they formed a complete country. And what I have to admit now is the fact that William Henry Gist, the governor of South Carolina, owned my ancestors. And I was talking to one the other day who, because of my telling her about this, did a search of her relatives and found out, yes, she is related to William Henry Gist. You know, these people pledge segregation. They preach segregation. That is when people are looking. Things happen, folks. Things happen. William Henry Gist did not keep everything to himself. Let's look at day 14, and we talk about Patricia Bath, Dr. Patricia Bath. I am thankful to her because she has given me something that is very, very precious. She has given me my eyesight. How can she give me eyesight? Because she developed the procedure that is currently being used for cataract removal. The instrument that's being used, she developed it. Why? How can something like this happen and we not know about it? People every day are undergoing this procedure developed by a black woman. We sometimes don't realize the fact of the truth that I have said, and that is that we have done so much in this country, so much. Last week we talked about Alexa Kennedy. Alexa Kennedy was a pediatric. Shut up. Alexa, be quiet. Alexa, stop. Okay. But Dr. Kennedy was a pediatric means working on small children, a neurosurgeon working on the brain, the nervous system. We talked about her last week. You can look her up on AmazingBlackHistory.com. How do you find all of these things? The women last year, the women this year are there, but there are over 300 posts and counting. And take a look at blog list at the top of the page or wherever it may be, depending upon the browser. It is at the top. I primarily use Edge and I use Chrome. Other browsers will work as well, but you can look at blog list and do that. If you have suggestions, comments, or whatever, click on Contact Us. You can write us. We want to hear from you. Sometimes we have people in our own families that we don't talk about. And I have a great-great uncle that started a school in Simpsonville, South Carolina, that I need to do some research on. I find so much of interest going on. And on the, I believe it's the 26th of this month. It's on a Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday coming. I will be in Clemson, South Carolina. There is a program there put on by the great-great-niece and her mother of Freddie Stowers, S-T-O-W-E-R-S, Corporal Freddie Stowers, the Medal of Honor in World War I. Since we're talking about women, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him, but Dr. Bath needs to be proclaimed for what she's done because she saved the sight of many people. Prior to her discovery, cataract surgery was a very difficult thing to do, and it required people to lay in bed for fear of undoing the delicate surgery that was required in order to do that. Dr. Patricia Bath, B-A-T-H, is the name that we're talking about. And so we look back at what is taking place. And I want to mention something that I heard just today on television, because Dr. Joy DeGruth Leary, and I have a post on her, and I'm sure that I butchered her name, but she is speaking of post-traumatic slave syndrome. We find that so many people today are suffering from effects such as post-traumatic stress syndrome, but she traces it back to slavery. So many of us have been affected by that. We're finding that it is becoming epidemic in this area because we are subjected to all manner of horror. We cannot turn on the TV without seeing and hearing about people being murdered. Many times mass murders that take place in this country. And yet and still, we are not doing very much about it. We're putting more guns in the hands of people. And I'm a gun lover. I'm a gun owner. Everybody under every circumstance does not need a gun. This is not the Old West. And when we talk about the Old West, let's do that. We are seeing depictions that say that basically there were no black people in the West. One out of every four cowboys was black. We even have a person that we talked about last year, Stagecoach Mary Fields, was a contractor to the United States Postal Service, and she delivered mail in the West. I believe it was in Montana primarily. And Mary delivered the mail no matter the weather. She had a mule and wagon and delivered it. And when the snow got so deep that the mule couldn't get through, she put on her snowshoes and delivered. And there's never been a complaint that she did not deliver a letter. Why? How can we go through history and not mention somebody of that magnitude? How? Why? Mary Fields, Mary Stagecoach Mary Fields. We'll talk about her on AmazingBlackHistory.com. I would be proud to be related to her. I'd be proud to be related to any of these people on here. It would motivate me. It would inspire me. And I think that's where the rub lies. Competition is minimalized if we first start off with failing to teach. We find that oftentimes when slaves ran away, if we go back and look at the actual listing, posting for them, find that many times they were listed as being a polyglot. What the heck is a polyglot? That's a person that speaks several languages and fluently. We must understand that everybody that was a slave owner did not come from England. There were people from other countries, and sometimes these slaves were sold to people of different languages and learned those languages. Is that somebody that's not intelligent? No. Is that somebody that did not have a formal education? More than likely, yes. And they didn't want this to happen. We have been working mathematical formulas for ages. Look up Horace King on AmazingBlackHistory.com. But let us move on. We're going back. We're trying to cover as many of these people. Now, I will be opening the microphones just shortly if I see that we have people that called in. I want you to understand that if you're listening, God bless you. I love you. But in order to make comments, you must have called in. And the number of that call-in is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. That is the number that you'll have to call in so that I can see you on my screen. Otherwise, enjoy listening. I hope that you'll encourage other people to listen to us as well. Again, the only advantage, and when you call in, you can listen. Only difference is that you can be recognized. I can open your microphone, and I can hear any comments that you may have. Comments can be positive or negative. I would hope that you would keep it civil. We do have younger people listening, and I do encourage you to allow younger people to listen to the broadcast. We try to keep it on an informative adult level. But we need to inspire and motivate our children. They are our future. We are looking at diseases such as Alzheimer's, and we find that the cure is probably going to come from one of our children. We need to encourage them to do whatever it is that motivates and drives them. People are going to change as their life changes. My college classmate, Dr. James Raphael Gabin III, who's in, I believe, the Atlanta area, working at one or more of the institutions down there, or at least did, and at one time was head of the American Diabetic Association, was moved to do so because his grandmother had diabetes, lost her legs as a result of that diabetes, and that drove him to great heights. And so we don't know what is going to be that kernel that ignites within our youth. And when I say youth, I don't want us to think that we are not included in that category, because we are. I'm almost 80 years old, and my desire to delve into this area didn't start until I was in my 60s. 70s, I believe, was actually the time that most of that happened. It is never too late as long as you're above the ground. We've seen Harbin Germer, who cannot see, who cannot hear, and yet she has a device where the message is available to her in Braille. Now, in some of the interviews, there is a person that's listening to the interviewer and typing into this device, and she's able to run her hands along and read Braille. There is no younger limit. Braille, which is in use today, was developed by a 16-year-old boy, a 16-year-old boy, and we haven't found anything better than that today. Maybe you can come up with something better. But I want you to understand that within you, you were created by the greatest creator this universe has ever known. We're making discoveries now that we had no idea about just a short time ago. Waking up that curious point within you, we are finding that in terms of nutrition, we have people that were treating diseases years and years ago. When we look at the Moderna vaccine that is used for COVID, the lead developer for Moderna was Kazmikia Corbett, Dr. Kazmikia Corbett. I believe she's on the medical staff or the staff of Harvard University at this point. That was a young lady who did not allow herself to be intimidated by the system. And neither should you. Look at some of these people. Adopt them as your mentors. You can't talk to them, but you can talk. I sometimes talk about George Washington Carver. And we have discussions. There are other people that I do as well. And Nancy Monroe Gooch. Those of you that watch TV or I do have a page on Facebook called Amazing Black History, may see a short video clip on there of a lady by the name of Dawn Fasciano. Dawn is related to a black woman that got me interested in history, black history, 2012. And if you go to that page, Amazing Black History, which is different than the site, AmazingBlackHistory.com, and look back a few weeks, you'll see Dawn. And her family owned hundreds of acres of land in Coloma, the site of Sutter's Mill. And they planted trees. They had an orchard. They were selling fruit wholesale across. Oh, I guess I only had 60 minutes today. I thought I had 90 minutes. I'm sorry. For that, I guess I should have read a little bit closer. But hopefully next week there'll be questions and answers. Normally the program is 60 minutes, and I had geared it for that. We'll be shut off here very shortly. I apologize for that. Hope that you'll come back again next week and listen to Did You Know? The contact information that you have for this program is available there. And contact us with any relevant information. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. And I appreciate you calling in today. This is John C. Abercrombie. The program is Did You Know? There is also an archive. Go back and listen to prior broadcasts that we have had. And again, have a very blessed week. Understand that black history is everybody's history. It's American history. It's world history. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.